Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the first Sunday of each month from 3 to 4 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with the community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Maddie, and
Joseph.
We both attend Laytonville High School. Today, our topic is sexual health in the 21st century. We are high school students. We live with lots of expectations, our own hopes and dreams of who we will be, those of our parents and teachers, and those of our friends. We want to fit into a society while developing our unique talents, and to a large extent, we want to be normal.
Today, we will talk about sexual health. This includes the physical and emotional aspects of sex. Surveys show that 50% of American high school students are sexually active. This means that half of the students are not engaging in sex. About 70% are active during their senior year. The majority of movies we see have characters engaged in sex either directly or implied, and most of the rest contain sexual innuendos. This is true for TV shows and even some modern cartoons. Sex appeal is often present in commercials, news anchors, and talk show hosts as well. Sex sells, and its use in the media stimulates basic physiological drives.
People our age are frequently presented in the media as carefree, careless, or promiscuous. While this is true for some young people in our communities, it is definitely not the social norm in Mendocino County. Yet the media has implanted images and attitudes that young people have numerous physical relationships. We will discuss that what we think is normal, intimate activity among the youth here. This brings up a number of questions. Is going out on a date in agreement to sexually involved? On a date, who controls the expectations? At what age is sexual activity appropriate? Is it acceptable to have several different partners in a course of a year? What is partying culture? Does the use of alcohol and other drugs lead to high-risk behavior? We are fortunate to have been educated about the health risks inherent to that sort of lifestyle, but alcohol and other drugs can rapidly get rid of inhibitions in education.
We will discuss where we have received information about sexual health. Some youth have parents who are easy to talk to about sex. Some youth have parents who are easy to talk to about anything other than sex. And unfortunately, some youth have parents who are not easy to talk to about much of anything. Many parents want their children to delay physical intimacy until they are beyond high school. And some of their children don't want to wait. Sex is a very embarrassing topic for many people. There are religious beliefs and cultural customs that present dogmatic limitations on sexual activity. Many adults have had humiliating or shameful experiences as youth and find that giving advice brings up difficult recollections. Some religions preach that contraceptives and abortions are immoral. For all these reasons, parents are sometimes not good resources for advising their children on sexual health. Clearly, though, parents do not want their children getting involved in unwanted pregnancies or developing sexually transmitted infections.
Most of our middle and high schools have minimal amounts of sex education in health classes. Schools have come under serious pressure that from a portion of society thinks that talking about sex in a classroom setting is inappropriate. Some parents believe that if schools discuss sex with students, that they will encourage experimentation. California requires opt-out parental permission for students to attend classes and presentations that cover HIV prevention, birth control methods, and comprehensive sex education. Recently, there was a health fair at our high school, and an educator from Planned Parenthood gave a presentation on sexual health. She covered safer sex, STIs, which are sexually transmitted infections, and birth control options for teens. She also informed the students about resources in our county where youth can receive confidential and free services related to sex health.
The class talked about how important healthy communication is in relationships. Students shared what they thought about the expectations and pressures around sex. They talked about gender role expectations and orientation, as well as the five circles of sexuality: reproduction, identity, sensualism, sexualism, and intimacy. Sexual health includes access to services, talking about behavior changes to keep a person safe, and education about what works and what doesn't. There are plenty of myths out there. Where can we find the facts? And there are family-packed funded health centers in many of the communities where we live. Family-packed is a California state program that provides no-cost family planning services and to low-income men and women, including teens. It is important for young people to know where they can get these confidential and free services.
We will talk about what we have learned about sexually transmitted infections. Did you know that 1 in 4 sexually active teens will require one of these infections each year? We will talk about the levels of risk in physical intimacy. People with STIs often have no symptoms but can still pass it to another person. All STIs can be treated. Some can be cured. Some STIs cannot be cured, but treatment can help with those symptoms. There are several simple ways to reduce the risk of acquiring STIs. Intimacy usually involves more than our bodies. Romance and love are life-affirming emotions, a highlight in most people's lives. Yet youthful physical intimacy frequently results in sorrow and depression as well. In the worst case scenarios, there can be trauma, both emotional and physical. This is another reason why youth need to be careful about who they decide to be intimate with and the level of risks they expose themselves to.
So what we will discuss today is a variety of aspects of sexual health and what we see as the social norm for high school physical intimacy in Mendocino County. In about 40 minutes, we will open the phone lines for your questions, insights, and experiences. We are in the Willett studio, and our number will be 456-9991. Maddie, what have you learned recently about sexual health?
Recently, in the past few months, I've talked to a few of my friends that have been off to college the past year, and they've talked to me a lot about the parties there, and they've seen lots of date rapes or rape cases of college girls, and oftentimes they're really close friends, their girlfriends, really close ones. They ask my friends to walk them home, because they're scared if someone will come and pick them up and they'll be drunk, or they might have gotten something slipped into their drink. And that has actually not as bad as that, but I've heard of those rapes happening locally in the high schools. Girls have been slipped roofies in their drink, or someone's a guy or something. They've gotten a girl drunk so they can proceed with intercourse. And I've just heard that that's very common, and I didn't know it was as common as it was.
Yeah, well, I hear that a lot too. I believe that just alcohol alone can be a very common way to rape someone. Ruflin is probably not the number one criminal in this situation. Alcohol.
Have you heard of any high school parties where kids are drinking and they hook up?
Yeah. Well, I certainly haven't been to many high school parties, but I know drinking occurs a lot, and sexual activity is also common. A lot of relationships occur at high school parties, so that could very much easily result in rapes.
I haven't heard of any, yeah. But have you heard of anybody receiving or like acquiring an STI in the school, in any schools around Mendocino County?
Well, I'm certain schools around Mendocino County have had that issue. Not very much in Laytonville, although I can't say that I doubt it has ever happened. In a lot of cases, kids could have gotten the infection and the symptoms haven't showed up yet. So I suppose, in any case, they should talk to their sexual partner or get information about the STI.
Do you think the health fairs are helpful to the kids in Laytonville, or do they just, they're like, oh, I know this stuff. I'm not going to go to school. I already know everything about that.
I think a lot of kids do that, but they shouldn't. Kids should question their level of what they know exactly. Now, I believe that it's best to speak to a professional, say at a clinic. They know what they're doing over there. They've had more life experience. And if you ever do wish to question a presence of STI, then that would be who you should talk to, clinics and medical professionals.
I've noticed a lot of media with teen pregnancies, including the MTV shows 16 and Pregnant and Teen Mom. And I believe that is a big, it makes it seem like it's not a big deal to be pregnant, 16 and pregnant.
Yeah, it does make it seem like it's not a big deal. Yeah, I have seen scenes of those shows before. I know family members who watch them, and they aren't exactly calling, they don't seem to be calling teen pregnancies a no-no in any case. They often portray it as a positive thing in a lot of cases. Although seeming fairly negative, they assume that their parents could just take care of the kid. I suggest that people do not plan a pregnancy unless they are truly ready for it.
I watched Dr. Phil, and there's a new show coming up this month, and it's about a girl from 16 and Pregnant. And she mentioned, maybe in the tabloids or something, I don't know what the preview of the episode said, but there was something said about her getting pregnant just to be on a TV show.
Well, her, just like everyone else, though being on a reality show, is human. She clearly probably just wants attention. And, you know, people will go through great lengths just to get that attention. And that may even include getting pregnant and having a child. Now, of course, I suppose you may think it's a great idea if you're going to get paid by MTV to take care of your kid, but you're very likely not going to get paid by MTV. So just think about this, and think about birth control, condoms, even.
I've heard that you should use two different options of birth control. Like, say, a girl is on birth control, and you use a condom. I had a friend come up to me the other day. And she was talking to me about her sex life, and she said, oh yeah, today was the first time we used a condom. And I was like, first time you used a condom?
Why not every time?
Yeah, so I'm a little worried for that, so I gave her a little talk. I was like, you need to use a condom at all times. She's like, oh, he just pulls out. No.
Yeah.
That does not, is not the right way to do it. You need a condom.
Yeah, well, you can't rely on pulling out alone. That's for sure.
I've noticed a lot of girls saying, oh, he just pulls out. Oh, pulling out, pulling out. No. It annoys me so much because if I can stop them from getting a teen pregnancy and I want to help someone who is in that situation, because once they get pregnant, they're like, oh, I'm pregnant. And they come crying to you and you're like, oh, well, I told you. You should have used protection.
Well, when using a condom properly, there's about a 98% chance. Is that it? 98% chance that it will work. As to pulling out, especially when you're drunk, people tend to think that's a good idea. Yet they probably don't have the proper recollection of how it actually worked out because they were drunk. Well, that you probably got like a 40% chance with that. So just make sure you're being smart, you know. Birth control is effective. Condoms are effective.
But they're, like, very mighty when they're working together.
Working together. Well, I can imagine working together as being a very romantic thing. But, well, working together in that situation, it really means a lot. Maybe working together in that sense isn't really all it takes. Now, working together while using spermicide and a condom, maybe that's probably your more proper form of teamwork.
How do you think younger teens, what do you think they think sex is? What does sex mean to them?
Well, I don't know. It's really hard to look at a bright-minded young child, and when they get into middle school, they see all these peers wearing clothes that they saw in a magazine, and they start feeling really insecure about themselves, and they probably put sex as a goal. You know, a lot of people think it's required in order to be cool, and a lot of other kids will brag about it, but really, it isn't the majority. It's just, you see this kid trying to act like it's cool, and I guess the image is what you make of it. You really need to avoid that sort of peer pressure, because it is everywhere. And being a student, I've seen it. It's not a positive thing. No.
I believe that girls have more of an emotional attachment or feeling about sex. Like, if they have sex, it's more emotional for a girl, but for guys, it's just physical and it feels good. And a lot of girls, I actually have seen a lot of girls, they're very insecure about themselves, or they don't really care that they're having sex here and there. They just sleep around with everyone. And there's so many different ways or reasons what they think sex is. Some think it's emotional, some think it's just we hooked up, okay, bye, like, see you later, and they don't even care. And some just do it to get it over with, like, oh, I'm just gonna get it over with and lose my virginity, everyone else is doing it, so I think I should, so I'll just get it over with.
I think a lot of people see it that way, like, oh, if I don't lose my virginity before I turn 18 or before I graduate high school, then I'm just going to be a great big loser all my life. It's a mentality like that really brings you down. And women, you know, I'm not a female, so I couldn't tell you for sure, but I'm sure some genders can be very emotional and passionate about their sex lives and think that they're really getting something out of it. Now, guys really tend to exaggerate, and when people hear that, they kind of get the wrong idea. Like, they exaggerate their sexual experience, and then, you know, of course, down the long social line, people believe that they need to set that goal because, well, this guy just had a super awesome time, so I better, you know, amount to that.
And maybe someone will be really nervous before they have sex for the first time, and once they have sex, they are like, oh my gosh, I've like done it, and now I can just do it. Whenever.
Yeah, right.
And that's a scary thing. They just go sleep around with everyone, and they're not aware of the STIs, or if you're sleeping with someone, who else have they slept with that might have given them some kind of STI or nasty bugger you don't want?
Well, people don't really tend to think about that. They just want the sexual experience. When they're in the moment, they don't want to stop and talk about sex when they really should. And that's very important. Like, even if you're just in the middle of the moment and you're having the time of your life, though it may stall things, if you do not stop and talk to them, you can be getting yourself in a whole heap of trouble. And a lot of people have experienced this, and you should really try to get informed before you get into any romantic sexual relationship of any sort.
It's better to have that awkward moment than have that call and you're like, oh, I'm pregnant, or oh, I got this from you.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh,
I have a cold sore. But it's just best to talk to your partner. So.
How can girls or boys get help when they have a problem, a little speed bump that they need help with? There's a Planned Parenthood, and I believe there's one in Ukiah, there's the Pact in Laytonville, where you can have free help for teens, and also Planned Parenthood, where you can have, you can have tests done, STI tests, you can have pregnancy tests, and there's abortion centers local, and you can be informed about any sexual, STI or anything sexual about sex that you need to know or that you want to know.
There are several local PACT services in this area that you can visit if you are having a sexual complication of any sort. These are Laytonville Long Valley Health Center, Little Lake Health Center, Hillside Mendocino Health Center in Ukiah, Planned Parenthood in Ukiah, Point Arena Teen Clinic, and Mendocino Community Health Clinic in Mendocino. So, just keep those in mind. It's a positive thing to know.
Have you heard of any abortions in high schools? Or teen pregnancies that have followed through with having children?
I have. You know, locally, there has been a lot of teen pregnancies. There's been a lot of teens giving birth. And, you know, I just wonder... I just really hope they're thinking these through, in the long run, because they're not going to be able to rely on their parents forever. And I do hear about this a lot. I'm sure abortions do occur in secrecy, but if it is to be kept confidential, you know, that may be why we don't hear about them as often as we probably would now.
Teens can get educated about sex from either parents or school, medical professionals, or religious or spiritual advisors. Joseph, where have you been? Have you been educated about sex, and where have you been educated about sex?
Well, I've been educated about sex from my parents. That was the early stage. Now, it's important to talk to your parents about sex, but a lot of you may not have that opportunity. I mean, a lot of parents have a really hard time talking about sex with their kids, but it is a very, very important factor. You really need to talk about it. Most of the sex education I got, of course, in the early stages from my parents and very much from the school. I learned tons and tons from schools, and as a suggestion to parents out there, you should let your kid go through with sex education because it will help them out a ton.
And also, before the show, we were talking about different methods parents could use to talk about sex education to their kids in a comfortable way. And lots of kids are, or lots of parents I've heard, like, okay, we're gonna sit down and we're gonna talk about this, like, can I steal you for an hour and we can talk and stuff, but that is so uncomfortable. That seems so we were thinking that it would be a lot easier if parents were, if some song comes up and it's talking about sexual activity or drugs or alcohol, the parent can just, you know, just start a little conversation, you know, hint things here and there, and then maybe a conversation will spark about sex health and sex education. And instead of having a serious, like, sit down and, like, scaring your child away from everything that's not comfortable, and just random little conversations would be a lot more comfortable for your child.
Yeah, I understand that a lot of parents may have a really tough time just finding the proper, most comfortable time to sit down and talk with their kid about how sex works and how babies happen. And I can understand it must be a very awkward thing to talk about, especially to a young kid who doesn't really know anything. Now, also don't procrastinate, because instead of waiting for the perfect time to talk to your kid about this, which might not happen, you know, you really just need to get in there at any even decently appropriate moment you can, if you really find it necessary.
My mom, thankfully, has done the more comfortable version of this sex education and has brought little things up here and there. If a song comes up or in the movie, she pauses it and she's like, okay, now this is bad, blah, blah, blah.
This is usually awkward.
Yeah, this is... So she, like, pauses the movie or turns off the song and she starts talking about it. And then my sister and I, when it gets too in-depth, we're like, okay, mom, shh, be quiet, okay, we got it.
You're not always going to have a romantic experience after fending off space aliens.
Yeah. And also, other kids feel comfortable with their friends' parents. So if if your kids' friends are close to you or you're close to them, you can also, they'll feel more comfortable with you talking to them. They will feel more comfortable talking to you about stuff. And that's what I've come to find.
Even if you think you're being a weird mom about it, just be a weird mom if it's for the best of your kid. Just be the weirdest mom you can, you know, because, yeah, I mean, even in the long run, it's going to help out the kid, really. And, you know, they're going to thank you for it, I'm sure.
Was it, for you, Joseph, was it awkward talking to your mom rather than your dad, or your dad rather to your mom?
I talked to them both, but my dad's kind of a bit of a hippie, so he always explained it in, like, the weirdest, most poetic way. And I'm like, oh, Dad, dude, yeah, I get it, for the most part, you know. He's like, and my mom, well, she was a little more straightforward about it, so, you know, they both said some really helpful stuff, but I mostly felt comfortable with my mom. You know, one of your parents might feel more comfortable than the other, so maybe you should talk with them about it, but either way, it's best to just get that done. Well, I believe. No.
So what other problems have you seen with teens and sexual health, or their how they've been informed and how they've taken that and used it or not used it or abused the situation? In high school, the kids, do they listen? Do you think they take that information and they use it, or do you think they're just like, oh, no, not this time. Like, I won't use a condom this time.
Yeah, it's so weird. I see these schools inform their kids, and they put so much effort into informing them. And the kids at the moment will seem to sit there and take it all in and be very interested unless they're incredibly ignorant. But, you know, I don't think they do stick with that knowledge a lot of the time. They just want to experience sex and they want to get it over with. But it's really good to take anything in that you have been taught by your elders, because they've certainly experienced a lot more than you have, and they experience this as well. You know, we live in a society that has been built up over several millennia, and you know, we have these kids that are supposedly feeling sexually active at this young age, and we can't really responsibly you know, express ourselves sexually until we're in our mid-20s or something like that. So, you know, it we have to develop patience. It's very important. We have to just wait until the time is proper, and I understand how that could be difficult, because your instincts are telling you, okay, I just need this thrill, you know, but you gotta be mature about it. It's a very important thing.
I've seen, I've seen in movies and maybe the magazines, they advertise this, but freshman girls and young girls coming into high school are vulnerable to older students, and the older guys are like, oh, new girls, ooh. And then, yeah, they're like, oh, yeah. Pretty little girls.
Yeah, that's creepy.
And they go after the little girls, and the little girls want to be like the older girls, so
yeah.
They're like, oh, yeah, I'll have sex to be like the older girls. Or maybe they like this older guy, and they're like, oh, yeah, how do I get that guy? Like, oh, his ex-girlfriend, she had sex with him. Maybe I just have to have sex with him to have him, or something like that.
Yeah. Well,
when is the right, time?
Well, that's certainly not the right time, you know? If, I mean, even if you were, in that moment of getting into a relationship, it's probably not going to be a very serious one within that length of time apart. Say a freshman female trying to get with a high school senior. It's just, you know, it's very common. These sexual urges develop in middle school, really. And when they get to high school, they see these more mature, more adult-looking individuals that they just want to experiment, I suppose. Like I said, it's not the smartest thing, and you really probably just need to stick with your age group. I don't know, there's a lot of pressures in our society, things that look cool that really aren't, that you really shouldn't drive for.
I've noticed locally, or in the community, lots of girls lose their virginity at a very young age, and when they think back on it, they're like, oh my gosh, why did I do that? I was so young, I should have waited. Do you think guys think that way? Like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Or they're just like, oh, that was cool. I lost my virginity that young? Dude.
Yeah. Well, maybe in the long run they would think that way. But, I'm sure everyone feels a bit of, why did I do this? It's a very heavy emotional thing. And these emotions are really hard to avoid, and it's really hard to establish, a correct level of emotion unless you talk with the other person. Just about everything. Plan everything out. It's really more important than just getting that feeling. It's, there's a lot of complicated things with it.
Joseph?
Yes.
Have you seen in any movies where the actors, right before they go through with sexual intercourse, have you seen them stop to put a condom on?
Yes. Some very awkward movies, yeah. but I think most movies that you see, like big blockbuster hits, they won't really portray that. They'll just try to make the scene as romantic as possible. It's really not like that. I'm pretty sure in most cases it's silent. It's a little weird.
So there's like
people have no clue what they're doing.
So there's an expectation that it should be romantic, or
you shouldn't expect it. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There might, like, the younger peers. Watching movies, they're like, oh, I want my sexual experience to be like that one. Mine's going to be just like that. And then they just expect that to happen.
Well.
And it's not. I don't know.
Unless you can find a horde of aliens that are trying to attack Earth that you can fend off, then good luck with that. So it's not, you shouldn't expect too much out of it. Very likely, and this is just honesty, very likely you will get the sexual pleasure and you will feel satisfied with it, but there's also a load of guilt behind it that really needs to be looked into, and if not, then your sexual experience is going to go from freaking amazing to the worst thing I've done,
We're going to open the phone lines now. The number is 707-456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call, and we'd especially like to encourage the youth and teachers in the listening audience. Please call in if you have any questions or insights about sexual health in our community. In your community. How did you learn about sexual health? Did you have classes in school? Were your parents able to present you with the information you needed? If you are a parent, have you felt competent to educate your child about safer sex?
Do you know about resources in our community where youth can receive confidential and free services related to sexual health? At what age do you think that sexual activity is appropriate? In your media responsible for making youth prematurely aware of sex, what advice would you give to youth about sexual health? The number is 456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 256-9991. Please call and be a part of this discussion on sexual health in the 21st century. Please call soon. This show will be over at 4 o'clock.
So, Joseph, when you talk about sex with your friends, what comes up the most? Do you talk about, like, birth control, or do you talk about how it feels, or do you talk about what it's like in the movies, or what comes up when you're talking about sex with your friends?
You know, to be horrendously honest with you, when people are talking about sex with your friends, they don't talk a whole ton about birth control. They usually talk about how awesome it would be, you know. Yeah, dude, that would be so tight. Now, just avoid, I guess you could talk like that with your friends, but it is also very good to be well-informed. And if you are getting in a, sexual relationship, especially, this needs to be talked about.
With your partner or with your other friends and make sure they know about it?
With your partner specifically, yeah. But with your friends it wouldn't help either. I mean, everyone needs to be informed. Now, you don't need to shove this information down their throats, but you should certainly, you know, let them, you know, maybe you could bring this up in a conversation. It wouldn't hurt, but mostly, it's best to know things like this with your partner, so.
Well, when girls talk about sex, well, one thing, sex is very emotional for girls, so they talk about the emotional side, maybe not all of the physical side of it, but they talk about birth control. I try and talk about birth control to them because I want them to be safe, and... Yeah. You want to make sure that you have a very, you have trust in a certain person, because if something bad happens, you don't want to hold that in to yourself. So you need to have someone or a trusted adult or a trusted friend that you can go to and talk about your problems, have a counselor, like a little counselor. Yeah. Personal counselor. Yeah. And so I think that's what girls talk about usually. They counsel each other and help each other out instead of saying, oh, that was totally dude, that was so dudette, that was awesome.
Well, I'm sure it's the same for both genders in a lot of way. It really just depends on who your friends are. Now, if it really does. Now, if one of my friends came up to me and said, oh, dude, I just banged this chick and she was wicked fine. You know, I didn't wear a condom, but I think I didn't get her pregnant. It's like, you're like, oh, well, maybe you'd want to talk to them about that a little bit. And I'm sure a little counseling type conversation, as you mentioned, would come up. Where you kind of get serious about this. You can't be ignorant to the possibilities. Anything could happen. You know, it's a crazy world. Yeah.
Please call in. The number is 707-456-9991. We'd love to hear anything you have to say. Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. I'm so glad you're doing this show. I'm sorry that I missed some of it, so I didn't get to hear a lot of your discussions so far. I did want to ask, and you may have already covered this, about when someone does have an STI, and I'm imagining that it might be more frequently girls who are aware of it than boys, and you could tell me about that maybe. But is there a lot of permission to talk about that with your friends, and do people go and get things taken care of right away? Do they know where to go and what to do? Thanks. I'll take my answer off there.
Thank you.
Yes.
I've had a friend who was in a serious relationship, and she and her boyfriend went to go get tested together, and which was when they're getting serious, and which was, I thought was very smart. But I believe you should, before you, if you engage in anything sexual, you should talk to that other person if they have had, if they've been exposed to any infections, or if they have had one before, or if they have one, because you don't want to not ask and then regret it later.
Yeah. I think both genders are, you know, very concerned with STDs or STIs, whichever you prefer to call. Now, it's probably dimmed out, like, well, you're in the moment, but as Maddie said, even if it does kind of, even if you are, like, really in the mood and feeling ignorant, and if you don't talk about it, then, you know, it could be a mess. So just stay aware of STDs, and, yeah.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, you guys have been doing a great job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to ask you guys why you think that teens in the 21st century are becoming, like, sexually active so much earlier than people in earlier generations. And I will take my answer off the air. Good job, you guys.
Thank you, Mitzi.
Hello, Mitzi. Rad.
Well, I think that a lot of teens think that sex isn't a big deal. And I think it's a lot because of the media and the movies and the teens having sex on the movies. Like, oh, that's the age I am. Like,
it's my first time.
Yeah. So a lot of the teens are just thinking, oh, well, everyone else is doing it. I should be doing it too. And a lot of it is because of the media, I think, and advertising, like, cool, like, sex toys, or, like, all these cool, like, new lubes or new condoms, and kids are like, oh, man, I gotta try that new one, like, and...
That one glows in the dark and has dinosaurs on it.
So sorry. Do you have anything to say about it?
What was the question exactly?
Why do you think teens are engaging in sex at such an early age?
Oh, yeah, this generation compared to earlier generations. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed this a lot. And it could be the way they grow up. I think things are just starting to become a lot more convenient, and parents are being less tough on their kids. The education system in general is not near as close to what it used to be. And I think those, in a small way, play their roles in them, in that.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, good job. You have done more with an open sexual conversation than I've heard on the radio, I think, perhaps ever.
Thank you.
As far as why children at a younger age, one has to consider the hormones that are in the plastic and in the dairy and in the consumption. After sex education, I've always left my kids with the thought, your first time you'll remember forever. Mm-hmm. So make it a good one. My question is, after doing some research, the sex educators were telling me that sex education should really start in the third grade. I'd like to know what you think about that, and thanks again for the program.
Thank you.
I don't think that kids should be exposed to sexual education at third grade. I think that's a little young, because the kids, they might not even know, like, how a baby is made, even. And I think that's a little young. What age are they at? Third grade?
Third grade? Well, they're around nine, eight.
Eight?
No.
Yeah. I think that's a little young just because they're still kids. Why do you want to talk about, I don't know.
Honestly, I think it's a great idea.
Really?
I wanna be, yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I express a different opinion than you. But, now, with their parents' consent, because kids start thinking about sex the moment they notice their private parts. Now, I don't think it's totally necessary if you're, like, a kindergartner or something. But third grade is probably one of the earliest and pretty critical times to begin talking about that sort of discussion. Now, if you have parent consent, because maybe a lot of parents might not want their kids to be informed about sex in the third grade, but, you know, if they have their parent consent, I think it is a fairly good idea. Now, you mentioned earlier plastics and, you know, consumption. Consumption is growing rapidly, decade by decade. And now, it might play a small role since there is estrogen in certain products, but, you know, we don't know for sure. Thank you.
Girls start their periods around 9 years old, and
yeah,
now that I think about it, their bodies start to get to change, and I was first exposed to that in fifth grade, and I thought that was a good age because we were starting to notice, like, periods, and, like, I don't know, guys were, I don't know, it was just, we were starting to realize that we were girls and boys.
Yes.
Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Hi, good job with your program. I've been listening and really enjoying it. And I wanted to comment on something that you said earlier about first-time experiences and it being kind of awkward and quiet. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to encourage you, as young people talking to other young people, to advocate for a kind of consent amongst each other in which it's not so much that no means no, but that yes means yes. And I do think that you guys are doing a really good job in advocating communication amongst people, but especially in this type of situation, as you were addressing earlier with younger girls and older boys, I think that oftentimes young people really get wrapped up into things because of this lack of communication. And I'm wondering if in any of your sex education this was ever addressed in terms of a positive consent, in terms of just the absence of no, meaning that it's okay to go ahead. And I'll take this answer off the air. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. Well, I believe that, so you're saying no means no, yes means yes, older, younger generations. All right. Well, let's see. I there is a lot of discussion is required. There's a lot of situations where younger girls try to get in with older guys, and they often, you know, don't really think through these conversations or these situations. They don't talk about it. You're right. Discussion is very important, and I think our today's sexual education is doing a great job. But you know, we can always, there's always room for suggestions. So, what are your thoughts, Maddie?
Well, by yes means yes, did she mean if someone's ready, then what does she mean by that?
That's what I was thinking. So, yes means yes. Well, you know, people have these urges, and I suppose if they really want to get into this, then both are very important. No means no, and yes means yes. So here.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, it's me. I just wanted to clarify. Maybe I spoke a little too fast.
Thank you.
I think that a lot of times the way that people are kind of taught about sex is that if you're in a situation and you say no, then like that's an indication to stop. But nobody ever really talks about how saying yes is more, almost like more important than just not saying anything. Mm. It's like not saying anything is kind of considered as consent, whereas I'm trying to say that, you know, saying yes is the stronger, you know, that should be what is expected and accepted by people. Like, ask about each thing that you're going to do before you do it and get consent for each, you know, activity that you're doing before you proceed. It's not like just because you're kissing somebody means that you're consenting to other activities. And I'm wondering if this is a model that has ever been, you know, if you've ever heard about this before.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you. You clarified a lot.
Thank you.
That was great. All right. Well, when people are in the moment, and they often,
to ask.
One of them might want to take it further, and if the other one does not help them, you know, acknowledge their feelings, like if they really want to, or if they're not sure. I think yes means yes and no means no are both are equally important. You know, if they're both consenting to the situation and they both say yes, then, you know, that's a very positive thing.
And silence, like if someone doesn't say if the one person doesn't ask the other and they just don't say yes or don't say no, does that mean, that might mean no, because they're scared and they don't know what to say.
And if they didn't say anything and then, you know, say that they were basically raped by this person, well, then they certainly should have said something.
The other person would be like, oh, well, you didn't say no, so it's not.
Yeah, this means a lot.
Yeah, that's not good.
Hmm. Okay. So I guess kind of, so if you don't say no, then it's kind of on you?
Well, not entirely, but, you know, you should say no and you should say yes.
If you don't want to, say no. If you do want to, say yes. If you don't say anything, then it's confusing to the other person, or you.
Sure.
You might.
Yeah.
I don't know. You might want to say no, but you're scared to say no because you don't want to be uncool or something. Because
it can be an emotional wreck if you don't give them a heads up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's a pretty serious issue, and I understand what you brought up. I just want to encourage all the young people listening to talk with each other and ask about things, because there is so much emotion involved in this, and it is very easy to not be able to say how you feel, and it just clarifies so many things if you ask for consent about what you're doing. And this is a practice that can be extended to areas much outside of sexuality, but it's just a good, polite practice that clears up any sort of misunderstandings.
Yes.
Thank you again.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry,
Joseph.
Okay.
That's all for this month's edition of Youth Speaks Out. Your hosts today have been me, Maddie, and...
me, Joseph White.
Youth Speaks Out is produced in cooperation with the Safe Schools Healthy Students Bronco Projects, building resiliency opportunities for the North County. For more information about the Bronco program, please call Pat Sanborn at 459-5314 or email at patsanborn, PATSANBORN at willitsunified.com. Please visit the Bronco website at sshsbronco.org.
Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, not the person running for Congress. who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of a show, and listen to many hours of previous programs in streaming audio. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who expressed them. Youth Speaks Out is aired on the first Sunday of each month. Our next show will be in 4 weeks. That is December 2nd at 3 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in December.